Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of Daf Yud Zayin. You will notice a bracketed section of Gemara, and it is at this point that the shiur will begin. We have to note that we left off our previous shiur in the middle of a discussion, so that in order to benefit from our opening shiur, the opening of our shiur, it is imperative to be well versed in the material that was covered during our previous shiur Daf Tes Zayin. The last point that we had mentioned was that according to Rabbah, in order to resolve two contradictory sources regarding Shitas Rabban Gamliel in the case of someone writing two letters, one on two separate Shabbosos, one letter on this Shabbos and another letter on the next Shabbos. We saw two Tanaic sources at the bottom of Tes Zayin Omid Beis, which appeared to be contradictory. Rav Chisda felt that his opinion was bolstered by the way of resolving those two sources. But according to Rabbah, there would be a difficulty. Rabbah answered that Rabbi Gamliel does not hold like Rav Chisda suggested or assumed that he goes like Rabbi Akiva, but rather Rabbi Gamliel follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which says that Shabbosos kegufin damyon. That means that if a person with violated Shabbos, one Shabbos after the next, knowing that it's Shabbos, but not familiar with the Malachas of Shabbos, that we refer to as Zodon Shabbos and Shigigas Malachas, each Shabbos is considered like a separate entity, and that would serve to explain the source regarding the two letters on two separate Shabbosos, the exemption, because each Shabbos is a separate entity, and as far as each Shabbos was concerned, he wrote only one letter, and as we mentioned in our previous shiur, the amount to be considered in violation of Shabbos is a minimum of writing two letters, but he wrote one letter on each Shabbos, and each Shabbos is considered a separate entity, hence the writing that he did does not join up to form a unit of two letters on one Shabbos unit. Now, the Gemara asks a question that we have listed here with a long question marking. We have to note some structural points, though, and that is that we have classified this as a bracketed section, and the bracket length indicator you can see is on the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical descending dash-dotted line. At the end of this bracketed section, you will notice another toshma with a point facing up. These are markings that we discussed in our previous shiur, at which point the Gemara will be trying to bring another Tanaic reference in order to determine which of these opinions, Rav Chisda versus Rabbah, is the more accurate approach to the understanding of our sugya. So, the explanation for why we have brackets here is found on the inside margin, where we have a note, and we've written as follows: Tam vasograyim laharos, to show the tshuva zu tishoer ad hatoshma. The answer that Rabbah gave, namely that Rabbi Gamliel holds like Rabbi Eliezer, with regard to the issue of Shabbos's kibbutz and Damyon, that response stands. B'sochasograyim, ha-gemora minasa lahakshoyis al tshuvazu, within the bracketed section, the Gemara will attempt to ask on that answer. Avol, Rabo, Yatzliach Lanos. But Rabo will be successful by the end of this bracketed section to rebuff or respond to questions on his approach. Lamros, Sheketa Zu Nimtza Besoch Sograyim, even though, in spite of the fact that this section is in brackets, He'edafnu Lahamshich Es Simun HaMa'akav, these triangles, we have opted to continue this marking. This is the ma'akav, or the attempt to keep track of the give and take structure, and we've continued it through the brackets. Toichen haketa shebasagrayim mar'eh, the content of that which is in the brackets shows the bishlamo aliba de Rav Chisda royim eifo Rav Gamliel moide l'Rabbi Akiva v'eifo chokim. This reference to Rav Gamliel being moide was mentioned in a source on Tes Zayin Amud Beis. One may notice this if he has that available, about six lines from the bottom. The last word on the line in Tes Zayin Amud Beis was Umoide Rav Gamliel. So this idea of his being moide, if you follow Rav Chisda's approach that assumed Rav Gamliel was accepting the approach of Rabbi Akiva, so we can then understand where we would see where Rav Gamliel is moide to Rabbi Akiva, and where the Eifel Chokim, and where they disagree. By use of the word moidim, here he concedes, that implies that in another section he disagreed. This is a point we just mentioned, from the fact that it says in the Braisa on Amud Aleph, the word moide that Rav Gamliel concedes, mechlal de pligi b'mokom acher, it implies that he disagrees in another place. Elo l'rabo di omar du amliel sover karebi Eliezer, but according to Rabba, who answered right before this bracketed section that Rav Gamliel holds like Rabbi Eliezer, ha nicha hecha de maskimim, dezef shelohochiach, we can show where they are in agreement with one another. Aval hecha chokim, but where do we find that Rav Gamliel argues with Rabbi Eliezer? So now the Gemara. V'ha midakotani umoide Rav Gamliel. From the fact that we saw this, and we have a double star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, with an indicator that this refers to Tes Zayin Amud Beis. If you go back to Tes Zayin Amud Beis, you will see where this quote is coming from. So, from the fact that it says umoide Rav Gamliel michlal de pligi achranaisa, it must be that he disagrees on some other point. So e amos bishlamok Rav Akiva svir lei, if you say that Rav Gamliel holds like Rabbi Akiva, as Rav Chisda learned, hainu, then I understand the pligi. There is a point of disagreement between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Gamliel. B'shigigas Shabbos v'zodon melachos. In these circumstances of shigigas Shabbos, he's not aware of the day being Shabbos, but he is familiar with the melachos. The Rav Gamliel savar ein yediyah lechatzi shiur. Rav Gamliel would be of the opinion that that the knowledge that takes place between a half quantity of Shabbos violation is not considered a yediya, and therefore the letters written one on one Shabbos and one on the other will join up, that even though regarding Shigigas Shabbos v'zodin Malachas, we hold in general that the Yomim Shebein Tayim creates a Yediya. These are all points we discussed in our last shiur. Rav Gamliel will still hold that Ein Yediya L'chatzi Shiur, that knowledge that arises between half quantities is not considered of any note or significance, and therefore the two half quantities join up. So Rabbi Gamliel would take that approach of Ein Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur, and Rabbi Akiva would say Yesh L'Yediyah B'Chatzi Shiur, and Rabbi Akiva is represented by the Chachomim in that source that we saw on Tev Zayin Amud Beis. U Moide Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel would be Moide Bezodoin Shabbos V'Shigigas Melochus, where a violation is done knowing that it is Shabbos, but he's not familiar with the Melochus, Shehu Potter, that if this is repeated one letter on one Shabbos with a Zodon Shabbos Shigas Melochus, and then another single letter likewise on a subsequent Shabbos with the same mindset, Rabbi Gamliel will concede Shu Potter. Why will there be exemption? Almo Shabbosus Kegufin Damyon. Rabbi Gamliel will hold, like Rabbi Akiva, that Shabbosus are like separate entities. Each Shabbos is a separate body, a separate entity. This, of course, was Rav Chisda's approach. So, as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, we are saying that things work out well according to Rav Chisda's approach, because we can see where Rabbi Gamliel disagrees with Rabbi Akiva and where Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Rabbi Akiva. Eloi Amris, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer Svirolei, if you're going to take Rabbo's approach, that Rabbi Gamliel follows Rabbi Eliezer, and that being that Shabbosus are kegufin, are like separate entities, and therefore one letter on one Shabbos, Bezodon Shabbos Shigas Melochus, and a second letter on another Shabbos, also Bezodon Shabbos Shigas Melochus, and since they're considered like gufin, they're separate entities, and they won't join together. Michlal de Pligi b'mai. So fine, Rabbi Gamliel will agree. He'll mode. He'll concede he'll agree with Rabbi Eliezer on that point. Where is there a point of disagreement between these two Tanoim, where Rabbi Gamliel would be mechayev? Because what we saw in the source was that Moide Rabbi Gamliel will concede to exemption, indicating that in some other place Rabbi Gamliel will maintain a disagreement with Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Gamliel will hold chayov, guilty, and Rabbi Eliezer will say innocent. But my, what's the case? At this point in the Gemara, we see a trapezoid form. This is used to indicate stages in trying to figure out where there is a difference between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbo. So we try. Where is there going to be a point of disagreement, where Rabbi Gamliel will hold guilty and Rabbi Eliezer will say innocent? E b'shigigas Shabbos v'zodim melochos, if you're to think that it's in that case that they will not see eye to eye, well, that's not true. Afilu Rabbi Eliezer ki Rabbi Gamliel sfirolei di'ein yediya l'chatzi shiur. That in the case of Shigigas Shabbos v'zodim melochos, which, in as far as our case is concerned with the writing of two letters, each time Shabbos rolls around, he's not aware that it's Shabbos. The issue would be, do we consider the intervening days as establishing a Yediyah L'Chalek? Well, if that's the issue, but Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Rabbi Gamliel that holds Ein Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur, that even though the intervening days will constitute a Yediyah, but a Yediyah, an awareness, when it intervenes between two half Shiurim, the awareness is of no consideration, of no note. The Sanya, here we have a Tanaic source featuring our very case, Hakosef shtei oisias b'shtei shabbosus, ois achas b'shabbazu v'ois achas b'shabbazu. A person wrote two letters over the course of two shabbosus, one letter on one Shabbos and the second letter on a subsequent Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev. Rabbi Eliezer says that this person is guilty. Why? The two letters are mitzaref. Why are they mitzaref? Why do they join up? Because ein yediyo lechatzi shiur. Just like Rabbi Gamliel. And here we have Rabbi Eliezer saying that same principle of Rabbi Gamliel. So that we can't say that the point of difference or the circumstance of difference will be in the case of Shiga HaShabbos V'Zodah Malachos, where the whole issue was Yomim Shebein Tayim, whether it's a Yediyah L'Chalek or not. They agree that that even though the intervening days will create a situation of Yediyah L'Chalek, nevertheless, Ein Yediyah L'Chatzi Shiur. And that's according to both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. So there's no, we can't point to that as the point of difference. The Elo, Biachas al Ha'oreg. Maybe the point of Machlokas will be a case where you have a piece of fabric that's basically woven. It's already, it's an already woven fabric, and someone comes along and adds and weaves onto the fabric one more row. That's achas al-horig, one more row of thread woven onto an existing garment. And maybe that in such a case, the Tanoim will disagree. We should point out by way of background that as far as Oreg is concerned, it's one of the Mlachos of Shabbos. There's a certain minimum number of rows of weaving that one must do. More, and that is certainly more than one row. However, if you have a complete or an already woven piece of fabric and you add one more row onto that, since it's already woven, the addition of one more row could carry with it guilt. So that maybe Rabbi Gamliel would take the approach that one is guilty for achas al oreg, and Rabbi Eliezer will hold innocent. So that in that case, they disagree, giving room for our source on Tes Zayin Mabeis to say, Moide Rabbi Gamliel, that in the case of two separate oisios on two separate Shabbosos, there Rabbi Gamliel will concede to an exemption. Well, this is not true though, because Chiyuvi Mechayev, Rabbi Eliezer, in the case of Achas al Ha'orig, is actually holding that one is guilty, so we can't set it up as Rabbi Gamliel is the one holding guilty and Rabbi Eliezer says innocent, when Rabbi Eliezer himself is the one that says guilty. Disnan, the source says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ha'oreg Shloisha Chutin Betchila, one who, in order to violate the Malecha of Oreg, of weaving, one would have to weave three rows of thread if it's the outset of the weaving of a piece of fabric. The Echod Al Ha'oreg Chayav. However, if something is already woven and you add one more row, so you see Rabbi Eliezer says he will be chayav. So we can't set that up as the case where only Rabbi Gamliel holds chayav and Rabbi Eliezer would hold innocent. So, Rabbi Omar, Michlal de Pligi, the case that you're looking for, Bechada, in one case, the Sanya. We have the following Tanaic source. This involves the Moloch of Hoitzah. This has to do with carrying an item from a private domain into a public domain. If it's a piece of food, there's a minimum amount in order to generate the violation. That minimum amount of food is a fig quantity. It's called a grogeres. In the following case, Hoitzi Chatzi grogeres, a person carried from a private domain to a public thoroughfare a half fig quantity. V'chozar v'hotzi chatzi grogeres. And again, he carried out another half fig quantity. Well, it depends. Behelem achas chayav. If he does the two halves in one state of lack of awareness, so he'll be guilty. B'shtei ha'alamos poter. if he does it within two states of lack of awareness, in other words, after carrying out the first half quantity, he becomes aware that he did that, he did a Shabbos related violation, and then he forgot himself and carried out another half fig quantity. That's called the Shtei Halamas Potter. He will be exempt. Rabbi Yossi Oimer Behelam Echod Birushus Echod Chayov B'Shtei Rishuyos Potter. We have a little diagram to help illustrate this din of Rabbi Yossi in the margin. Rabbi Yossi is telling us that even in a case where it's helam echad, it's not always going to be guilty. If he carried out the two half fig quantities to the same Rishus HaRabim in one state of lack of awareness, then he'll be chayav. However, if it's one state of lack of awareness, but he carries one chatzi grogeras to Rishus HaRabim number one, this would, our little diagram, we can call it a bird's eye view of, let's say, two highways that are running with a median strip in the middle. We call that a Rishus HaMafsik, a separate domain that's not a Rishus HaRabim, that splits these two thoroughfares. So that if a person, according to Rabbi Yossi, carried a Chatzi Grogeros to one Rishus HaRabim and a second Chatzi Grogeros to a second Rishus HaRabim in one state of lack of awareness, he will be innocent. So, the Rabbi Gamliel Ketanakama, Rabbi Gamliel will take the position of the Tanakama that any situation of Helam Echot, he will be Chayav, even if he carries them, the half quantities, to two separate public thoroughfares. The Rebbe Eliezer, Kereb Yossi, and Rebbe Eliezer will disagree and say and take the position of Rebbe Yossi that even in the case of Helam Echad, if it's a case of two separate Rishus HaRabims, there will be exemption. So that would be the case in which Rebbe Gamliel and Rebbe Eliezer argue, hence giving room for the source on Tes Zayin Reis, that's in the case of the two letters, which are also an issue of half quantities. There, Rabbi Gamliel will concede that he is innocent, based on the idea of Ein Yedia L'Chatzi Shior. As opposed to the case of the carrying to the Rishus HaRabim, the half grogeris to one half grogeris and then another half grogeris with one ha'alama, there you don't have a state of yediya to separate the two, and we'll say it's not an issue of yesh yediya or ein yediya l'chatzi shiur because it's in one state of lack of awareness, so that in that case where you're dealing with the Rishus HaRabims, there Rabbi Gamliel will hold guilty, as opposed to the case of the letters, the writing of the letters, one on one Shabbos and one on the other Shabbos, there he will hold innocent. And of course, the reason for that is, according to Rabbah, we explained that the source in which he said there is innocence is because of the classification of Shabbos as keguf and damyon, and that would be a situation where he was aware of it being Shabbos, and just which we called before zodon Shabbos v'shigigas molochas. So what we have done through this whole bracketed section is preserve Rabbah's approach to the sugya. Toshma. We bring now a new Tanaic quote. It's a source that is quite familiar to us, though. And we will then look at this through the eyes of Rav Chisda and Rabbah. Toshma. Omar loy chayov al kol achas v'achas mikal v'chomer. In the discussion that took place between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, he mentioned that he should be chayav on for each Shabbos a separate korban chatos, based on Kal Vachomer logic from the case of Nida. We should just point out that this is a quote from the Mishnah that we had on Daf Tes Zayin Omid Aleph. So Rabbi Eliezer had used this argument and said that regarding Shabbos, he will be chayav on each one separately, based on the Kal Vachomer from Nida. Uma Nida She'ein Bo Totzos Harbe, where in the case of Nida, he was chayav on each woman, on each relation separately, even though it doesn't have many different branches and outcomes, and yet each one is chayav separately. Shabbos, which has Totzos Harbe, Shabbos has many different aspects to it, so certainly it will generate multiple chatos. Bishlamo l'Rav Chisda, d'yomar shigiga Shabbos v'zodon molochos bo'ominei, that according to Rav Chisda's approach, that Rabbi Akiva's question of, when he was asking Rabbi Eliezer, he was asking about the case of Shigiga Shabbos v'zodin Molochus, and what was the issue, the Yomim Shebein Tanimi Havion Yudil Chalek Olo, intervening days, intervening weekdays between one Shabbos and the next, which were done with in this state of mind called Shigiga Shabbos v'zodin Molochus, do they constitute a Yediyah? And if they do, if the intervening days do constitute a Yediyah, so the violations for each Shabbos will require a separate korban chatas. So hainu de ko'amar lei, with this in mind, we understand the response uma nida, etc. Nida is also an issue of yomim beintayim, as will be explained later in the Gemara. So as far as Rav Chisda's approach to what was Bichlal Rabbi Akiva's question of Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Chisda said the question was concerning Shigiga Shabbos v'zodah Malachas. It then follows that the answer that Rabbi Eliezer gave him was also an answer that had this issue of Yomim Shebein Tayim as a factor. But according to Rabbo, the question that was posed by Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Eliezer concerned the issue of Zodon Shabbos Shigas Molochus, and the issue or the question was the Shabbosis Ike Gufin Damian V'iloi, or is each Shabbos viewed as a separate entity, as a separate body? So then in the Rabbi Eliezer's response should have been a balanced case, something similar to multiple Shabbosos, lisni nidois, where a person had relations with different nida women, using a plural expression, just like the issue that was being asked about was an issue of separate Shabbosos, Shabbosos being viewed in the plural. So too, the forbidden nida intimacy should have also been stated in the plural with several different women, gufin muchlokin, separate bodies, separate women. Omar loch Rabba, Rabba will answer tini nidos. So in fact, the answer of Rabbi Eliezer back in the Mishnah on Daf Tezayin should have been the correct grammatical presentation should have been nidos. Now, as far as other opinions on the actual version of the Mishnah, how should it read? Is it in the singular or in the plural? Shmuel toni nida. Shmuel teaches the word nida in the singular. He holds like Rav Chisda, where the question that was raised was concerning Shigigas Shabbos v'zodon Molochos, and under such circumstances, we said that, as will become later clear, explained later in the Gemara, the issue of a singular nida is also a yomim shebein tayim type consideration. Rav Ado bar Ava toni nida. He follows suit, teaching the word in the singular. Rav Nosson bar Oshia toni nidos. He will go like Rabba, using the word nidos in the plural. That being the parallel to the question of Rabbi Akiva, namely the issue of Zodon Shabbos v'shigas melachos. Do we look at each Shabbos as a separate guf? Ula Rav Chisda d'amar shigigah Shabbos v'zodon melachos hu d'bo aminei. According to Rav Chisda, where the issue that Rabbi Akiva asked of Rabbi Eliezer was the issue of Shigigah Shabbos and Zodon Molochus, the Yomim Shebein Tayin Mihavyon Yediyo L'chalek Iloi, and the issue there was, do the intervening weekdays constitute a Yediyo to make each Shabbos viewed as a separate entity? Nida, the response that Rabbi Eliezer offered was from the case of Nida, my yomim shebein tayin hav yon yediyah l'chalek is ba. What is the issue of yomim shebein tayin that has relevance? What's this concept of intervening days with regard to relations with the Nida? Omar Rava. Rava explains, kegoin sheba aleha v'tavla. We're talking about a man that had relations with the woman, and then she immersed herself. The ro'asa, and she had a blood sighting. The chazar uba aleha, and then this man again inadvertently had again relations with her. The tavla, and she immersed herself in the mikvah. The chazar uba aleha. The tvilos havyon ki yomim shebein tayim. Each immersion that she did in the mikvah could be viewed as intervening days. So the singular Nida woman could be taught, and we're working within Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda's approach was that Rabbi Akiva was asking of Rabbi Eliezer the case of Shigiga Shabbos v'zod melachos repeated over a couple of Shabboses. Are the Yomim Shebein Tayim considered a Yediyah to separate between Shabbos and Shabbos? Rabbi Eliezer answered him from the case of the Nida that a person had relations with, and after that she immersed herself in the mikveh, and then he again had relations with her after her seeing Dam again. And we are saying that the fact that she kept going to the mikveh after their having relations would be parallel to the case of the intervening days, creating a yediyah after each act of forbidden intimacy. Toshma. You can see that we have the triangle marking that we had introduced in our last shiur, where the inverted triangle is brought to introduce something that will be beneficial to Rabbah. So here we have another inverted triangle. Tosh mahabo al haktanois yochiach. In the argument that we saw back on in the Mishnah, the give and take between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, the issue of Abo al Ktanos, one who has intimacy with a Nida that happens to be a Ktano, was one of the arguments that was quoted in their back and take. Where Rabbi Eliezer responded that he should be chayav on each Shabbos separately from the case of Habo al Haktanos. So the Gemara goes on and says, Bishlomo l'rabo hainu dekotoni ktanos. According to Rabbo, that the question Rabbi Akiva was asking of Rabbi Eliezer, concerned the case of Zodon Shav Shigas Mlochus, are they viewed as Gufin Muchlokin? The example of the Mishnah of Ketanos is also separate minors, separate bodies, separate girls that are all Nida. Elo Rav Chisda, my ketanos, but according to Rav Chisda, where the issue was not one of Zodon Shabbos Shigach Smlochus, and the analysis was of are they considered Gufin Muchlokin, but it was according to Rav Chisda, the question that was posed to by Rabbi Akiva was a question of Shigigas Shabbos V'Zodon Melochos, and the issue there was, are the intervening days considered a yediyo lechalek? Why does Rabbi Eliezer respond with the plural form of ktanos? The Gemara answers ktanos de almo. In other words, when according to Rav Chisda, really it's a reference to repeat forbidden nida relations with one ketana, but it's repeat relations with her. And the term ketanos that appears in the plural is a reference to the generic ketanos. Ketanos in general, one who has repeat relations with her, with a singular ketana from the world of ketanos, that is what Rabbi Lezer was answering. Point being that Rav Chisda has his defense. So at this point, what we have done is gone back and forth between Rabba and Rav Chisda, each one justifying their explanation of what was Rabbi Akiva's question that he posed to Rabbi Eliezer regarding the multiple Shabbos violations. Rabba holding that Rabbi Akiva asked him concerning the case of Zodon Shabbos Shigigas Melochus, what happens when that takes place Shabbos after Shabbos, and a person does a melocha on one Shabbos and a subsequent Shabbos with that state of mind. And Rav Chisda explaining that Rabbi Akiva asked of Rabbi Eliezer concerning the case of Shigigas Shabbos V'Zodon Melochos, repeated one Shabbos after the other. And the issue is, are Yomim Shebeintayim considered a Yediyah L'Chalik? Masnisin Delo Kehodein Tano. The Gemara points out that our Mishnah is not like the following Tanaic source. Before going on in the Gemara, we glance at the Nosei, the topic heading, under which we have written Brisa Delo Kemishna Seinu. The Gemara presents a Brisa that is not like our Mishnah. The Fiha Brisa Pshita Lei Rabbi Akiva. According to the Brisa, the Pshitolei Rabbi Kiva, the issue of Shabbos, we call Hanosei Shel Shabbos. Uboy v'nida mibayalei, and the issue concerning nida, multiple relations, forbidden relations with a nida, is what he is going to be questioning, asking about. That's as we say, the opposite of our Mishnah's approach to the give and take between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So the source starts, Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Loi kach sho'al Rabbi Akiva l'Rabbi Eliezer, not concerning Asiyas Melochus Harbe b'Shabbosus Harbe is what Rabbi Akiva was asking of Rabbi Eliezer. Elo kach shualo. Rather, the following is what Rabbi Akiva asked. Haboal ishto nida v'chazeru boal ishto nida behelam achas mahu. A person had forbidden relations with his nida wife, his menstruant wife, and he did this again and again in one state of lack of awareness. Chayav achas al kulon, oi chayav al kol achas v'achas. Is he chayav one? Is he obligated to bring one sin offering for all of his acts of intimacy with her, or for the forbidden ones, of course? Or is he chayav a separate korban chatos for each one of these acts? Omar lei, Rabbi Lezer answers, chayav al kol achas v'achas mikal v'chomer. I could tell you that he'll be chayav for each one, and my answer is through kal v'chomer logic. As follows, Uma Shabbos She'ein Bo Elo Azhora Achas. Whereas by Shabbos, there's only one person is warned. In other words, it's the person, one person is warned not to violate Shabbos. And yet, if we skip this short bracketed section, we can maintain a smooth reading, and we say that, mind you, Shabbos she'ein bo elo azhor achas, chayov al kol achas v'achas, nido she'esh bo shtei azhoros, skipping the brackets for a moment, eino din shehu chayov al kol achas v'achas. Now we'll go over this Gemara, again filling in the bracketed section with which simply explains these concepts of Azhora Achas or Shtei Azhoras. So the Gemara begins again with the Kal v'chomer, Uma Shabbos Shein Bo Elo Azhora Achas, meaning Shehu Muzor Al HaShabbos V'HaShabbos Eino Muzeres Olov. The human being, the person, is warned concerning the Shabbos. The Shabbos is not warned. The Shabbos is an inanimate object. It's an idea. It's a phenomenon. It's not a person. The Shabbos eino muzheres olav, and yet chayav al kol achas v'achas. It is a given that one will be chayav for each Shabbos as a separate entity. Nida sheyesh bo shtei azharos. And what does that mean? Shehu muzer al hanida v'anida muzheres olav. The man is warned not to be with the menstruant woman, and the nida is warned not to be with the man. Eino din shehu chayav al kol achas v'achas. Here you have two players, so to speak, that then, and if in the case of Shabbos after Shabbos, they're viewed as a separate entity for obligation. The case of the nida, man relation intimacy, certainly will generate a separate chiyuv for each intimacy. Omar loy loy, Rabbi Akiva responds, not so. Im amris b'shabbos sheyesh bo toitzos harbe v'chatos harbe. If you're going to say by Shabbos that each Shabbos is considered a separate unit of violation, hence generating a separate sin offering for each Shabbos, well, that's because Shabbos has many branches and details to it. There's Totzos Harbe. There are 39 primary forbidden activities, and each one of them has many branches. Tomar benido, should we say the same thing regarding multiple obligations by the nida? Shein bo totzos harbe v'chatos harbe. Nida doesn't have many branches and details like is the case of Shabbos. Omaru loi, habo al haktanos yochiach. So it was responded, Rabbi Lezer responds to Rabbi Akiva and says, well, we can bring precedent from the case of Habo Alaktanos. She'ein bo totzos harbe, v'chatos harbe, v'chayov al kol achas v'achas. Where a person has relations with ktanos, which doesn't carry with it many, doesn't have many details and outcomes, and yet is chayav for each one separately. So, all the more so with the case of the nida. Omru lo, lo. So the response to that was not so. Im amris biktanos shekein gufin muchlokin, which is not the case by ishto nida. In the case of a person who has multiple relations with several different minors, that carries with it separate chatos obligations, because each girl is a separate entity, which is not the case of the wife that he has repeat relations, nida relations. Omar loy habo al habehema yochiach. So Rabbi Lezer says back, if you're asking about multiple relations with one's wife nida, I'll answer you from the case of one who has relations with a behema, that's with a behema's bestiality. She'ein gufin muchlokin, multiple relations with the same animal, according to this assumption, is that that's for sure generates separate chatos, even though you don't have gufin muchlokin. So by the wife, where he is warned against being with her, and she is warned against being with him, certainly there will be a separate chiyuv for each act of intimacy. Amru lo, habehema kanida. So Rabbi Akiva says back that the case of the behema is just as unknown to me as my original question concerning the nida. That by your trying to cite as a given the case of behema and it being a generator of multiple sin offerings, as far as I'm concerned, that too is a question. We begin now the next perek, the fourth perek of Maseches Krisus. Sofek ochal chelev, sofek loy ochal. Vafilu ochal. Person is in doubt whether he consumed chelev. Chelev is a type of, is a part or a substance found in kosher animals that is unacceptable. It's forbidden to eat. So if he had a doubt whether he ate chelev or didn't eat chelev at all, and even if he ate, sofek yesh bo kishiur, the sofek, continue to the top of Amud Beis, sofek ein bo, maybe he didn't even eat the necessary quantity that generates obligation. Shumon v'chelev l'fonov, if a person had a case of two substances. Shumon is a permissible meat substance, and chelev is a forbidden meat substance. Two kinds of meat substance are in front of him. The ochal echod mehen, and he ate one of them. The eino yodea eze mehen ochal, he doesn't know which one he ate. He doesn't know whether he ate the chelev or the shumon. Or another case of doubt. Ishto vachoso imo babayis. A man's wife and a man's sister are in the same house, and it's apparently they all use the same bed. And shogag be'achas mehen, ve'inu yodea be'eze mehen shogag. He had relations with one of them. Now, if he had relations with his wife, that's fine. If the woman that he had relations with was his sister, that is a sin. So in this case, he doesn't know with whom he had the relations. Another case of doubt, Shabbos v'yom chol. 2 days, either Shabbos or a weekday, the osa malacha ba'echad mehen, and he did an act that we call a malacha, one of 39 different primary forbidden activities vis-a-vis Shabbos. However, v'eino yodea be'ezem en osa, he doesn't know whether he did the sowing, for example, or the plowing. He doesn't know, did he do it on Shabbos or he did it on a weekday. So in all of these different examples where a person is in doubt as to whether he violated a type of a law that would generate a korban chatos, if he knew post facto, if he discovered in the case that someone does something and it's then revealed to him that he unknowingly definitively violated something, then he would bring a korban chatos. In these cases, his discovery is one of doubt. He discovers that he did something doubtful. Mevi osham tolui. Kishem she'in, which means he brings an osham tolui sacrifice to serve as a, we'll call it a temporary atonement. Kishem she'im ochal chelev v'chelev behelem achas eno chayev elo chatos achas. Just like if a person ate two olive quantities of chelev in one state of lack of awareness, he would be chayev only one korban chatos. Kach al loy hoyde shelahen eno mevi elo osham tolui echod. Similarly, where he does not discover between his eatings, he doesn't discover that he had eaten something that's called sofek chelev. In other words, he ate something, and then he ate again something, and a third time he ate something, and only after he ate three times was it revealed to him that, hey, you know, you ate something that was a possible chelev. It was sofek chelev. So, in a case like that, he'll bring only one korban osham tolui. Im hoisa yedia bein tayim, if between his eatings he became aware that he had eaten something problematic,
So we say kishem shehu mevi chatos al kol achas fi achas, just like he would bring a separate sin offering if there was a yediyah between each eating. In other words, if a person ate something thinking that it was kosher, and then right afterwards he was told, hey, you know, you ate chalev. And then he ate something else, and after eating it, thinking that it was okay, he was told, you know, you ate chalev. For each one of those, since there was a yediyah, he would have to bring a separate chatos. Kach mevi osham tolui al kol achas vi achas. So too, if after he ate, in the case of something that was doubtful, and then he went ahead and ate a second piece, and then after that was informed again, hey, you know, you ate something doubtful, that will also generate multiple korban osham toluis. Kishem she'im ochal chelev v'dam pigul v'noiser behelam achas chayov al kol achas ve'achas. And likewise, if a person violated four separate kinds of chatos related offenses, like chelev or dam is blood, pigul is a sacrifice that was done with an incorrect mindset, or noser is eating leftover sacrificial meat, even though ate these four different type of forbidden substances in one state of lack of awareness, he will be chayav for each one separately. Kach al loy hoyda shelahen mevi osham tolui al kol achas viachas. Likewise, if a person ate something that was sofek blood, and another something that he ate was sofek chilev, and then he ate something with sofek pigul, for each one of those, even though he doesn't discover a problem between each one, nevertheless, he'll bring a separate osham toli for each a doubtful offense. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that you'll find in the outside margin. We call the nosei be'ezo nisibois, under what circumstances mevi'im osham toli. Ravasi says chaticha achas. That means, if a person ate one piece, there was one piece, and that one piece was a sofek, either it was shuman, which is kosher, or chelev, which is unkosher, and he ate the one piece, and after he ate it, he was told, you know, what you ate was a sofek chelev, sofek shuman. As far as Ravasi is concerned, that's enough to generate the need for a korban osham toloi. Chiyo Barav, on the other hand, says that an osham toli will not be brought unless initially there was a chaticho mishtei chatichos. It's one of a couple of pieces, one of two pieces, or more. But you can't have an osham toli brought if there was only one problematic piece at the outset which he consumed. Turning to the Gemara. Ifmar, Rav Asi Omar Chaticho Achas Shoninu. A person ate one piece, thinking that it was shuman, acceptable food. And afterwards, he was told, what you ate was a suffek, that it might have been chelev. Reading this again, Rav Asi Omar Chaticho Achas Shoninu, suffek shel chelev, suffek shel shuman. Chiyo Barav, Omar, Chaticho Mishtei Chatichos Shonino. According to Chiyo Barav, the Mishnah that teaches the need to bring him Osham Toli when there's doubt, it would have to be a case where there were initially two pieces, and the doubt was concerning one of the two pieces was unkosher. Or we say one piece was shuman and the other piece was chelev, and he ate one of the two pieces not knowing which one he ate. So according to Chiyo Barav, the case of Osham Toli, or the need from Osham Toli, doesn't get started unless it was a type of doubt concerning two pieces, my not knowing which one was the kosher and which one was the unkosher. B'mai komifli, what's the basis of this machlekes? Rav Asi Sovar Yesh Eim Lamasoras. Rav Asi says that the main approach to darshaning a posuk is through
the way the letters appear. Not necessarily the way they're read in shul, but the way they appear. And as far as this pasuk is concerned, the pasuk concerning Ashem Toli, the word is written in the singular. That's mitz. We're going to read it not the way it's actually read, but the way it's perceived by Rav Asi, mitzvas ksiv. Rashi quotes the pasuk. You'll see Rashi a few lines up from here, mitzvas ksiv, v'vayikra, in the third book of the Torah, in Sefer Vayikra, Gabi Osham Tolui, where it's mentioned, where the Torah mentions Osham Tolui, it says, V'osta achas mikol mitzvois Hashem asher lo se'asena v'le'adav Hashem v'nosav ono. But in this posuk, it said he did one of the achas mikol mitzvois Hashem. Rav Asi says, we don't emphasize the way it's read, but rather the way it appears, and appears in the singular. Therefore, if the person approached a singular piece and was told later on that what you ate was sofek chalef, sofek shuman, that's enough to generate a need for an osham tolui. The Chiyah Barav, the Gemara continues, Omar, yesh aim lemikra, mitzvos karinan. Yesh aim means the main way to darshan a pasuk is based on the way we read it in shul, the way that's read in the Torah. And the word that, though it's printed in the singular, it's read in the plural. That's mitzvos karinan, which is mashma, one of two pieces. That if only if you have a situation where there were initially two pieces, one was a kosher piece, one was an unkosher piece, one was shuman, one was chalev, and I ate one of them, not knowing which one was which, only then do you bring an Ashem Tolui. Esfe Rav Huna l'Rav Asi, v'amri lo, chiyo barav l'Rav Asi. So you have Rav Huna, or another version is chiyo barav, are attacking Rav Asi. The Mishnah said, chelev v'shuman l'fonav v'ochal achas mehen. Well, that case is clearly a case of shtei chatichos. My love, mi de seifa shtei chatichos, reishonami shtei chatichos. Just like the seifa is a case of two pieces, and chelev and shuman, and I don't know which one is which. So too, the reisha of that involved the opening of the Mishnah, which was Sofek Ochal Chelev, was a case of one piece, or was a case of two pieces. Just like the Seifa is a case of two, so too the Reisha of Sofek Chelev he ate was a case of two pieces. One was Shuman and one was Chelev. So here we're saying that the Reisha was a case of Shtei Chatichos. That's a problem for Rav Asi. Omar Luhu Rav. So Rav answers on behalf of the approach taken by Rav Asi and says, Lo tezlu boser ipcha. Don't follow or don't use as your argument something that could be flipped over, could be switched around. The yochol lishnuya luhu, Rav Asi could answer, Seifa b'shtei chatichos. The Seifa is in fact two separate pieces. One was definitely Shuman, the other one was definitely Chelev, and he ate one, he doesn't know which one he ate. Reisha b'chatichachas. The Reisha features a case of one piece, and he ate the one piece, and it was not known whether that one piece was Shuman or Chelev. Well, ihachi, if it's so that there's a chiyuv even on when there's one piece, yesh lomar chaticho achas mechayev, if for the case of one piece that is enough to generate an osham tolui, in other words, a sofek concerning the identity of one piece, so shtei chatichos tzricho lemeimar, where you have two pieces, one and one is definitely shuman and the other is one is definitely forbidden and the other is definitely allowed. So that certainly will generate the need for an osham tolui. The Rashi elaborates a bit here on the Rashi further up. Shnei chatichos mibaya. The Bishlamo Chaticha Achas, Iko Leflugi, Mishum Taima de la Kamon, the Efshilavari Suro, Oi, the Lo Ikba Isuro, Avoshte Chatichos Lekola Meimar Hochi. Based on, Rashi here is quoting the Gemara later on, and with that we can understand what the problem is over here. Namely, if you're going to follow Rav Asi's approach that one chaticha could generate the need for an osham tolui, then two chatichos certainly would be the basis of generating the need for an osham tolui. So according to Rav Asi's approach, there seems to be a redundancy in the Mishnah, or an extra clause in the Mishnah, namely the case of the Shtei Chatichos, which is spelled out where the Mishnah spoke about Shuman v'Chelev Lefonov. So the Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Asi, Zu v'ein tzorach l'meimar zu kotani. In other words, it's a certain type of Mishnah structure where it says, this case, the case of one chaticha, the doubt in one chaticha can generate an osham tolui, and it goes without saying, or I don't have to tell you about the case of two chatichas, that certainly will generate the need for an osham tolui. Ulechio Barav the Omar, according to Chio Barav, who said, Midesefa b'shtei chatichos reishonami b'shtei chatichos, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text to help you find where this was stated earlier. Just align this with the previous arrow and it will be obvious. So according to Chiyo Barav, who said above, that just like the Seifa, where the Mishnah spoke about Shuman v'Chelev b'shtei chatichos, those are two separate pieces, Reisho Nami, the Reisho that opened up with Sofek Ochal Chelev, is also a case of b'shtei chatichos. Well, according to Chiyo Barav, Misna Tarti Lomali, why do I have to have two cases of Shtei Chatichos taught? Just not to forget, according to Chiyo Barav, the case of Sofek involving one Chaticha would not generate a Chiyuv Korban Osham Tolui, only if you have two pieces. And therefore, why do I need to have a Reisha and a Seifa saying the same thing? So the Gemara answers, Pirushe Komaforesh. The Mishnah is in fact not two separate cases, but it's an opener with an explaining clause that follows. And we used a frame to present the Mishnah as the Gemara would like you to have it think. As follows, Sofek Ochal Chelev, Sofek Lo Ochal. Mevi Osham Tolui. If a person is in doubt whether he ate chelev or not, he'll have to bring an osham tolui. Ketzad, what is the case under which he'll have to bring the osham tolui? Kegoin shoyo chelev v'shuman lefonov. That kind of doubt, where one piece was definitely a mutter, and the other means one piece was definitely kosher or acceptable, the other piece definitely forbidden, and he ate one of the two. Only then will there be an osham tolui. Before going ahead in the Gemara, we start now a series of pieces that are marked with bow ties and double underlines, and we feature this under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin. You see a double underline and a bow tie that appear. Hatzogas Divrei Rav Shloisha Poma. We're going to be presenting Rav three times. Derak according to Rav, like we saw above in the name of Chiyo Barav, only if you have at the outset two pieces, one definitely Shuman, the other definitely Chelev, and he doesn't know which one he ate, only then is there an Osham Tolui generated. Al Kol Hatzaga, regarding at each time that this position is presented, Yofia diamonds Amura Shishoil Mai Taima de Rav. We'll have three different Amoraic opinions dealing with what is the basis for Rav. Once again, Rav's din is, like Chiyo Barav, that an Osham Tolui does not come about unless you start off with two pieces. The Gemara And each section, after under the bow tie section, you'll see a name appearing in a diamond, which are different amoroyim that will be asking the question of what is the basis for Rav. I'll call echod mehamoroyim nishelas sidro shel sheilos meoisom hamakoros. With regard to the each amora that offers his explanation of why Rav says what he does, there will be a series of questions on each amora from sources involving koi, ibum toch shlosha, and nida, three separate topics or sources that will be raised against Rav. In the course of this discussion, the Gemara will ask, when we have this emphasized with a crown shape, my iko bain. The Gemara will be asking, Eza hevdel yesh bain hata'omim shenutnu ledino sharav. What is the practical difference between the different reasons given for Rav's din, who spoke about the dafka b'shtei chatichos yesh al shom tolui? So, just before learning the Gemara, we would like to suggest to let your eye scan ahead. You see a bow tie, and to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a number 1 appears. This is Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's presentation of the din of Rav. Now, Rav's din is presented, that there's no Oshem Toli unless you have Shtei Chatichos. If you skim down, you'll see a bow tie number 2, which says the same thing. Rav presents his din, that you need to have Shtei Chatichos before you can talk about an Oshem Toloi. Under bow tie number 1, you can see a diamond where the Gemara says, Omar Rabba, my time of the Rav. Rabba will give his explanation of Rav, and it's a Pasuk-based explanation. When we skim down, you'll see Rabbi Zera gives his opinion of Rav, that and it's a we'll call it a logical type explanation. After each diamond, you will notice triangled expressions appear. These are questions from sources on what had been previously said, and this same structure appears under bow tie number 2, and you'll see a bow tie number 3 on the upper part of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So now we pick up the Gemara. Omrav Yud Amarav, Hoyu Lefonav Shtei Chatichos, Achas Shel Shumon, the Achas Shel Chelev. If there were two pieces in front of him, one was an allowed substance, Shumon, the other forbidden, the Chelev. Ochal achas mehem ve'inedem ezamem ochal, and he ate one of them. He doesn't know which one he ate. Did he eat the definite mutter or the definite osir? Chayav, he'll be obligated to bring in osham tolui. Chaticha achas, if there's a case where he had one piece, sofek shel chelev, sofek shel shuman v'ochla, and there is doubt whether the piece was forbidden or the one piece was completely allowed. And the person ate it. So, potter, he'll be exempt. He doesn't bring in Oshem Toli. Omar Rabo, my time of the Rav, what is the reason or the basis of Rav that says that only if you start off with two pieces will there be a possible an Oshem Toli? The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'osa achas mikol mitzvus Hashem b'shgoga. And we learn from here, Ad Shiyishgoig Vishtayim, until his mistake concerns, or his doubt, it concerns two pieces. The Gemara asks, well, mitzvahs ksiv, the word mitzvahs without vowelization would imply a loshon yachid, one piece. That one piece is enough to generate the doubt concerning one piece is enough to generate the need for an Oshem Toloi. So to this, Rabbo responds, mitzvos karinon. The way the word mitzvos is read is in the plural. And therefore, the Oshem Toloi does not come about unless there are two pieces initially. Esve, Abaye, l'Rabbo. So Abaye raises a question from a Tanaic source, in which we'll see that an Oshram Tolui is brought even if there is only one unit of doubt. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Koi Chayovin Olav Oshram Tolui. A koi is an animal that's sofek beimo sofek chaya. If it's a behemo, so the chelev in it is forbidden. If it's a chaya, the chelev in it is allowed. So Rabbi Lezer says, if someone ate from the koi, he'll be chayav and oshram tolui. Now, what's the main point for us? The main point is that you have only one unit here, and we just don't know how to classify it. The koi, is it a behemo, or is it a chaya? Omalo, so Rabo answers, Rabbi Lezer, Savar, Yesh Eim, Lamasoras, and Mitzvas, Ksiv. Rabbi Lezer is not a challenge to Rabo's approach to Rav, because the Tana, Rabbi Lezer, holds that the way you darshan words in the Torah is based on the masoras, the way the word appears, and it appears in the singular. And that, therefore, in even a singular piece is enough, if there's a doubt concerning a singular entity, that's enough to generate an Oshram Tolui. Esvei, we again challenge Rabo. This is a case of a Yevoma, that says a woman whose husband died, leaving a surviving brother, but the married man that died had no children. The Yevoma, the surviving widow, who is a sister-in-law to the surviving brother, is expected to marry the Yevoma, the woman, the wife, or the Almona, after 3 months go by. Not within that time period, because it's important for us to determine, is the child an offspring of the first father, or is he the child of the second father? In other words, a case of a woman getting married after her husband dies, if she gives birth 7 months later, we won't know, is it a 7 month pregnancy from the second husband or a 9 month pregnancy from the deceased? So we have a Tanaic source that reads, Esvei, Safek ben Tisha l'Rishon. This is a woman who did not wait the required 3 months in order for us to see whether she's actually pregnant. She married within the 3 months and gave birth 7 months afterwards. And we don't know, Safek ben Tisha l'Rishon. O ben Shiva la'achron. The woman who waited to remarry, let us say she waited, she got remarried after waiting only 1 month, and then after she waited only 2 months, and then got married or did yibum with the surviving brother-in-law, and she gave birth 7 months later. Is that a 7 month pregnancy and everything is fine, or is it really a 9 month pregnancy? So we didn't wait 3 months to determine whether she was pregnant from the first husband. And if she was already pregnant from the first husband, she should not have married the surviving brother-in-law. That's called Eishes Ach Shelo B'Mokel Mitzvah. That carries with it a need for a chatos. Here we have a case of we don't know. The woman did the yibum within the before the permitted time. There's one doubt here. It's concerning this one woman. Did she do the yibum properly or not? And yet we see the Mishnah says yotzi havlad kosher. She shall leave the surviving brother-in-law, and the child that's born is kosher. The chayov ba'osham tolui. The woman will have to bring, though, an Oshram Tolui. Now, the woman who was involved here is the case of, is like Chaticha Achas, and yet there is a chiyuv asham talui. The Gemara answers, "Ho amani, Rabbi Eliezer, he, this source is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer, who we just saw before holds yesh eim lemasaris, and that one piece, one unit, is enough to generate the asham talui." Esvei, we have a Tanaic source that involves a married couple. When a married couple conducts intimacy, they do so with checking cloths. It's white material that they apply after, before and after the intimacy to determine that the woman was not a nida, not a menstruant woman. Now, the source says as follows, Ninsa al shiloi, if the man finds a blood stain on his checking cloth, where did the blood come from? It must have come from the from his wife. And therefore, Tamein, V'chayoven, B'karbon, they are ritually impure because of this nida intimacy, and they will have to bring a korban chatos for having had relations in this forbidden state. Al shelo asyum, Tamein, V'chayoven, B'karbon, if they find on her checking cloth, here where the focus turns to the woman, they find it on her checking cloth. Asu means immediately, that she did her checking immediately after the actual act of intimacy. So, and if she finds blood on it, so he too was engaged in relations with the wife that was already a nida. So therefore, they're both tamei and chayov mekorban. Another case is nimso al shelo liachar zman. The woman, the pair, this couple conducted intimacy. Then there was a brief pause, and then she checked herself and discovered blood on the checking cloth. That's the case of Li'achar Zman. Tmein Misofek, Upturin Min HaKorban. They will be considered Tomei from a standpoint of doubt, because it could be that the man conducted the intimacy before the blood started to flow. We don't know. And it says in this source, V'tani Allah, Chayovin Asham Toli, that there's an Asham Toli expectation, that they will have, there is a matter of doubt here, since the blood was found on her checking cloth, but not immediately after the relations, but a little time passed. It could be that she really was a Nida at the time the relations took place as well. She just didn't check immediately. Since there is an element of doubt, there's the need for the Asham Toloi. Now, what's the point? Why is it brought as an Esvei? It's a challenge here, because we see that even though there aren't two Chatichos here, there aren't a case of, it's not a case of two pieces, and still there is an Asham Toloi requirement. The Gemara answers, as we've seen answered already a few times, Ha, money, Rabbi Eliezer, he, this source is in accordance with the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, who says, Yesh Eim, La Masores, and the Masores, the way the letters appear in the Torah, is in the singular. This Gemara now is going to sound repetitious, and in fact it's based almost all repetitious, except for the reason that Rabbi Zeiro gives a couple lines from here for Rav. So, Omar Rav Zeiro, Omar Rav, Hoyu Lefonov, Shtei Chatichos, Achas Shel Chaylev, Achas Shel Shumon. The Ochal Achas Mehen. There were two pieces in front of him. One was a Chalev piece and one was a Shumon piece, something allowed. And he ate one of the two pieces. The Eini Yodea Izemen Ochal, he doesn't know which one he ate. Chayov, he will be obligated to bring an Osham Tolui. Chaticho Achas, Sofek Shel Shumon, Sofek Shel Chalev. If he ate one piece, and the one piece was a doubtful, there was doubt whether it was Shumon or Chalev. Potter, he'll be exempt from an Asham Toli. Omar Rabbi Zeiro, my time of the Rav. What is the basis for Rav that says that an Asham Toli is not generated unless there were two pieces, one each one there were two pieces. One was definitely forbidden, the other definitely allowed, and the doubt is we don't know which one he ate. Kosovar, Rav holds Shtei Chatichos Efshe Levar Yisuro. Once he ate one of two pieces, the other piece remained uneaten. We could clarify, there's a potential for knowing definitively what the man did. In other words, if the regarding the piece that remained uneaten, if, let us say, witnesses came and testified as to its identity, so then I would know definitively what the person had done, whether he violated or not. Rashi says, "Efshe levar yisro de osham toli eno bo elo lahagen min hayisurin." An osham toli is brought primarily to protect the person from suffering, ad shivodolo, until it is becomes clear. V'yavi chatos, and if he violated something, he'll then bring a sin offering. Yeforesh perek basra elkoch shtei chatichos ochal chas v'nishra achas efshir shiyovol achar zman boki shiyakir imzeh nesaras shuman. When you had two pieces and ate one, there is a possibility of an expert coming along and identifying the piece that remained uneaten as shuman. And if that happens, vaday chelev ochal, then we'll know that he definitely ate chelev, v'yovi chatos, and then he'll bring a sin offering. Avol chaticha achas v'ochla, but if we start off with one piece and we're in doubt as to the identity of that one piece, and he eats it, there's no potential of clarifying what really took place, because it's not there's nothing left. So Rabbi Zera explains that the reason that Rav says that an Oshem Toloi is characteristic of a case only of two pieces there initially, that is because, as we read in the Gemara, we'll read again, Aleph, Shtei Chatichos Efshir Levar Yisro. Chaticho Achas, if there was one piece and he ate the one piece, and we just don't know whether that one piece was Chelev or Shuman, E Efshir Levar Yisro, there's no way to clarify what actually happened. My bane, Taimo de Rabo, the Taimo de Rabbi Zeir, what will the point of difference be, or an example through which we can illustrate the difference between the explanation of Rabo and that of Rabbi Zeira? Iko binayu, kezayas umechza. The point of difference will come about if there was 1.5 aleph quantities of substance. Namely, there was one full aleph quantity and another half aleph quantity. And he ate the full aleph quantity of substance. So, l'rabo leko mitzvahs upoter. According to Rabo, you're not starting off with what the Torah requires. The Torah spoke about mitzvos, and we said that the way it's read in the plural. So that if you have 1.5, one aleph quantity and another half aleph quantity, you don't have two units of quantity. You have only 1.5, and hence you don't have mitzvos. Mitzvos indicates a minimum of two units, and therefore upoter, there will be no oshem tolui. The Rabbi Zera efshir levarer isuro. According to Rabbi Zera, if you start off with 1.5 olive quantities, and the olive quantity was eaten, well, there remains a chatzizais that can be analyzed, and we can still come to a point of being mevarer the isur. Now, the Gemara raises the same sources as questions on Rabbi Zeira's approach. When we say the same sources that were introduced by the three triangles above that we label Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. So the same sources are raised as a challenge. Esfei Rabbi Zeira, the Rabbi, Esfei Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyahu challenges Rabbi Zeira from our Mishnah. It said, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Koi Chayovin Al Chelboi Osham Tolui. If we said our Mishnah, let's just reverse that. This is a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Lezer says that if a person ate the Chelev of a Koi, he'll be obligated to bring an Osham Tolui. Now, here, there is no way to mavar what a koi is. A koi is a situation of doubt, and it's e efshir levar isuro. And yet it says here that there is an osham toli that's brought. So that's a problem for Rabbi Zeira's explanation. Omar le, Rabbi Lezer sovar lo aboina levar isuro. Rabbi Zeira answers that Rabbi Lezer, who is the author of this source with the koi,
doesn't require the potential for being mevarer the iser, for clarifying what really took place. Eisvei, we are continuing at the top of Yud Ches Omer Aleph. It says, Sofek ben Tisha l'rishon o ben shiva l'achron. The woman had remarried before 3 months lapsed and gave birth 7 months later. So, and she did this in the context of a yibum, yotzi, she should leave the yavam, the second husband. V'havlad kosher, the offspring is okay. V'chayav v'asham toli. And there will be a chiyuv of asham toli because of the suffix of having violated eishes ach shelo b'mokom mitzvah. He answers, Rabbi Zera will answer, Homani Rabbi Eliezer he. This source, though it has no name in it, is being taught by Rabbi Eliezer, who says that chaticha achas is enough. There is no need, let's go with Rabbi Zera, there's no need to be mevari suro. Eisvei, this is again a source we saw before, Nimsa al Sheloi Asyum, Tmein v'chayoven b'korban. If they find on the checking cloth blood immediately after the intimacy, so they are considered as definitely having been in violation of relations with a nida. Nimsa shalach hazman, if they find on her checking cloth after a little while, tmein misafek b'tumin korban. There will be tuma misafik that maybe she was already a nida before her discovery now. The tani alav v'chayovim b'ashem toli. However, we are taught that there is an obligation for this couple to bring an ashem toli. Now here it's efshel avari sura. We can't determine what the story was at the time of the intimacy, and yet there is an Asham Toli. So Rabbi Zera answers, Ha Moni Rabbi Eliezer he. This source is taught in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. As you can see, we still have a third bow tie to deal with, where once again Rav is presented, and Rav Nachman will appear in the diamond raising the question of my time of the Rav. But with this, we conclude our shiur for today.